Welcome to No Shame, episode 62. So if you've been living under a rock, you won't have heard that the nurses' strike has been a big part of the news. What we've done today with the No Shame cast is we've got two nurses from that section, people that have been out canvassing, been out protesting for basically their rights and for the idea of what they have worked hard for and to be appreciated for the tough profession that they do. So we have Sarah and Keane on, both nurses in the A&E in the Mater Hospital here. So yeah, welcome to the No Shame Show.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, so we'll start off with Sarah straight away. So Sarah, where do you come from? How long have you been doing a nurse? Have you only been a nurse?
So originally come from County Longford.
Go on to Longford.
Been a nurse since 2005, I qualified. So yeah, quite a while, 14 years almost. I've been working in Ireland since 2013. I trained originally in the UK, came home in 2013, and been working in ED in the Mater since then.
Okay, so what made you come back to Ireland? Because usually it's gone the opposite way, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I only ever went away originally to train.
Okay.
Didn't intend to stay away as long as I did, but got a job, got settled. Met a man from Dublin.
You're on the Dubs.
Yeah, it just was time to come home, miss my family, came home to settle down, really.
Yeah. It's so hard to get away from Ireland, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
We've lived away.
Yeah, back to the family.
Back to the good bread and Kerrygold.
That's it.
Yeah. That's what we missed when I was away. And Cian?
I'm from Leitrim, and I've been a nurse since 2010. And I've been in London. I went to London when I qualified as well and came back the same time as Sarah in 2013. We started both in the new hospital when they built the new Mater Hospital. We both started there 5 years
ago. Incredible hospital as well. We
actually, 6 years ago.
I had two back surgeries in the Mater Hospital under Keith Sinney. Mm. Do you know him?
Not personally.
No. Amazing man. Absolute genius, the man. He reminds me of Patch Adams or something like that. You know, Patch Adams, great. You haven't seen that? Great film. So obviously what's going down now is people are starting to see it. You know, we were having a conversation before we started here. To me, it's the same old kind of thing. When somebody stands up against, say, what's going on or highlights the problems that the government's doing, this is it. This is the straw that broke the camel's back, I think. You know, I think people are just fed up now. And the job that you guys do is incredibly tough. As I said, I remember being in the Mater Hospital, exactly that one, and some nurse, I couldn't understand how she was keeping her patients at night. Going in the last bed, I don't know whether he probably had mental health issues or something like that, but he kept getting out of his bed, kept throwing himself around, and the nurse was constantly coming in and out, putting him back into his bed, so calm, and being able to, I was admired at her patience, I was, and it stuck out this week even more, because when I see what you guys have to do for like basically what you more than you deserve. You deserve more than what you get at the moment.
I suppose the crux of the industrial action is that we want equality with people that have the same qualifications as us in the health service. And we're not trying to say that we're better, that we deserve any more than anybody else. It's just equality that we're looking for. So like there's Leaving Cert students all around the country applying for CAOs for what course they're going to do next year. And in a very basic way, if you go to university to do a level 8 degree, and you have a level 8 qualification and you're employed by the health service executive, you would expect to all get the same pay for that job. And within the health services, very challenging jobs. Nursing is one of them. There's many professions that work in the health service and they all have different challenges and different roles and different importance, but we should all be treated equally. And, you know, we both worked in the UK and over there, they have a very open, fair, equitable way in that everybody's banded. So if you're a band 5 nurse, physiotherapist, occupational therapist, speech and language therapist, porter, ward clerk, it's all open. You all get the same wage. And then as you get promoted to a band 6 and a band 7. You get more responsibility, you get more pay, but you're all equal. And that makes the teamwork much, much better when people feel equally valued and they work to the same level. And it's very hard for nursing to move forward if we feel less valued in the health service. And it comes down to basic discrimination. We're employed by the same employer and we get much less than our equivalent counterparts in the same employer for the same qualifications. And that's very, very hard to justify. There's no reason for it. You could argue it was a female dominated profession and it was an apprenticeship. And in the last 10 years, it's become a degree. And now we're at the point where the majority of the nurses working in the country have a degree. and they've come through universities, as most healthcare professionals, and we should be treated equally at this stage. And this industrial action is just to make us on par with our colleagues. It's not to make us any better. You know, we could all sit here and say, "Who, I prefer this profession, I prefer that profession." It's not about that. It's about equality. And, you know, Ireland has come a long way in terms of equality.
That's what I was going to say.
And, you know, nurses should be allowed to marry whoever they want as well.
We agree. Well, but look what you said there. I think that is a huge part of it, isn't it? Because when the country was collapsing, it was you guys that were taking a lot of the hits
with all the public servants. You know, but we should all be taking hits equally, and we should all be taking rises equally. And like the public pay agreement that we're currently in is not going to meet the needs of bringing the nurses in line with other healthcare professionals. And that's the government's line, is the current pay agreement will meet the demands, but it just won't. Do you know, there's no room to meet the demands that we have.
So I was looking at a payslip last night for a nurse. So I think it was a senior level nurse, and I think it worked out like over a fortnight they had received €1,000 or something like that, so £500 a week. She had posted it up in an article. It was a great article because it was well put together. It was if you went to a bank now, like if you guys went to a bank, to me, the people in the country, definitely nurses, the guards, the fire brigade, all their services and stuff like that, and people wouldn't believe us in another country we had to say this, that they wouldn't be approved for a mortgage. It's on paper there, and the idea is we're going to create affordable houses, we're going to call them affordable houses, no one can get a mortgage, anybody that's in our sectors, the people that are looking after us when we're sick, and people that are dying, and people that are going to pass on and come to the end of their life, are you guys, and are in that profession, and he's a human too, you know. So
I suppose that's the second aspect of the industrial action, is that there isn't enough nurses in the system to provide for the patients that we have. Mm-hmm. And the union feels that it's because nurses aren't paid appropriately for the service that they provide, and they would hope that if nurses are paid appropriately, that would attract more people to come back into the system. Like, we train a lot of nurses, and a lot of them leave because there is more opportunities abroad. People, they're better paid abroad, especially in places like Australia, Canada. And now the USA has started advertising for nurses to come from Ireland to the US, which is the first time that that's happened. And there's agencies to help nurses go to America. Traditionally, it was quite difficult to go to America, but that's going to be the next port of call. And like, we put a lot of work into training our nurses, and we should make more of an effort to keep them. You know, Irish nurses are renowned over the world for being very well trained, but I think Irish people should benefit from that.
That's what I was going to say, that we have the pound for pound best nurses in the world. I think as Irish citizens are compassionate in any way. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So I'd love to see an Estonian nurse. Stone cold. No, but I think it's kind of in Irish nature as well, to be compassionate. Yeah.
In our culture, we're caring culturally, so it's nice to, you know, train our nurses within that culture and to keep them.
Yeah,
you know?
But as humans, okay, there's no doubt that how this affects it. So all of this pressure that comes on, as I said, if we couldn't get a mortgage, and if we was working long hours, and I was covering shifts and doing overtime, that, because like sometimes you guys have done hours to look after patients that you don't even get paid for over here at times. And I've seen nurses when my mum is in hospital, that they were supposed to finish an hour ago, but 35 minutes and they're still moving around and doing stuff. And you're saying how can you stay motivated? How are we going to keep people that are so important to the country motivated to want to be happy in a job? And because you're humans, as I said.
And the problem is we're not, and they're leaving the profession, and they're leaving the country. You know, and that's the reality. You know, people finish college, they get a bit of experience, and they go abroad. And that's, they're working in areas that are short-staffed, with very complex patients, in very difficult environments. And at the end, when they get a paycheck that's way below what they deserve, that's less than their counterparts that they work alongside, they just leave.
And then when you add in, as I said, the points of, they can't buy a house. Mm. Like, at least if you were leaving your shift after doing it and you were going home to your house and you knew that it was paying for that, and it was like... But it's not, because most of the nurses are paying rent and paying... That's sky high, and it's like, at the end of it all, it's probably going to end up... It's probably going to end up not having nothing to show for it anyway.
Mm.
Yeah. I think what's brought us to this tipping point, though, is... in addition to all the things that Keane's just outlined about the lack of equality in pay, our patients are also suffering, and that's what's really, that's been a big motivator for us to vote for this industrial action. You know, we're caring for more patients than we were, say, 4 or 5 years ago. Our workload is much higher. The patients that we're looking after are much sicker. They're much, they have much more complex medical conditions. People are living longer. Therefore, there are more sick people in the system for us to mind. And we have less staff to provide that care. So that's, you know, three big factors that are negatively impacting our ability to look after our patients. And that's, you know, that's the reason we became nurses in the first place. Yeah. It's to look after our patients. And we're just losing that ability. We're compromising more on the care that we are providing. We're not able to do enough essentially on a day-to-day basis. And that's why we're, you know, working into our breaks. That's why we're working at the end of our shift. That's why we're stressed. And that's why we're all motivated to, you know, vote for this industrial action. Like, we just can't continue.
I think what yous have started off now is as I said, the straw that broke the camel's back. I reckon yous are going to get the country support with this. And not only that, yous are going to have other sectors coming out into this support as well. And I think that's what the government are afraid of. And they are going on about, like, so the idea of, well, we can't afford this and we can't afford that, but, like, let's be out straight. They're pulling the money from somewhere, because the hospital, that has to be another frustrating factor. So even though he's frustrated, then you see the things like the overspend of this hospital where they're throwing hundreds of millions around like it's nothing.
Yeah, but, you know, we need to look after our patients, and if we don't have nurses, how are we going to do that? You know, they can stick their head in the sand, but we have got a crisis. You know, there's, I think, one nurse applying for every four vacancies. I don't know the exact figures of nurses that are leaving the country, but more than ever before, we're down about 1,600 nurses since 2007. So, you know, what's going to happen if we don't get our parity, if we don't get what we're looking for? This is not going away. It's going to get worse.
Like most stuff in Ireland, which is the sad thing, because ordinary people can see this thing's getting worse. And like, so homelessness has just got worse, and they've hit it better. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's how it works. So we've kept our eye on the ball for the last 2 years of what's going on, and getting people in that are experts in all sorts of situations. So it's not just this thing that the government are failing at. To me, it's like a load of lads our recession running the country. That's what it feels like. Because I shouldn't know the answers to a lot of these problems, but it's frustrating to feel like I do, because they're simple enough. And I'm not saying I do. When I say me, I mean I represent a large amount of the country, just an ordinary dude with, like, you should do it this way. Like, when they say common sense is not so common anymore, definitely not within the government. So the other thing I was going to say to you is, so last year, what was it, the Junior Anglo-Irish? We were looking at this there as well.
So it was just before Christmas. The government paid back some of the vulture funds in December, 270 million exactly what it was, I believe. So, I mean, it just goes to show, you know, they say they don't have money, but when they can pay back vulture funds in Europe that weren't even looking for the money. In December, it's what, just gone February now. So
I think usually when you go to pay somebody back money that they weren't really looking for, you're probably getting a percent of it. Yeah, you know, so
like, for as a member of the public, as, like, if I was to park being a nurse for a moment, we pay really high taxes in this country, and we should expect to get a good quality health service for that. And the waiting lists are outrageous in this country. When you're in hospital, there isn't enough nursing staff there to look after you. You're going to be waiting longer to get a bed. You'll be waiting in the emergency department maybe for a day and a night waiting to get a bed. Then when you do get to the ward, the nurse is probably twice the amount of patients she should have.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not good quality healthcare. And you can't have good quality healthcare without the correct amount of nursing staff. And that, again, if you want to have the correct amount of nurses, you need to pay them properly to be able to live within the country that they're working in. And you can't afford to live in Dublin as a nurse at the moment.
So this is what I was going to say as well. So it's, how can we actually do it? you can't rent because you can't live close. That's another situation. And then the idea of getting paid too little to actually live, then having something after your career. Like, all of these things, to me, it's very hard to stay. It wouldn't make sense for somebody to stay in a profession like that, which is not happening because it's suffering. But the idea of staying motivated for you guys, like, for the government, the same way you use care for parents, or sorry, care for patients, the government should be caring for its citizens in that way. Because that's usually how it works, isn't it? It's usually like...
That's the job they've been given to do. Yeah,
exactly. And the idea is, you would feel like, when you think of it, the last 100 years this country is being run by the same two parties and the same... It needs to be changed. I was saying to... I was having a conversation with someone during the week, and I'm saying, what we're dealing with now is we're dealing with like evolved billionaires, if you must. So there's a citizen and there's a person in the planet now that will never, ever, ever understand what it's like to be me or to be you or to be you or to be Robin. Because say you've got a guy in the 1800s, claps that money, catches it, he becomes a billionaire. His kids and kids and kids are now always into money, will never understand the thing. So technically, they're probably the people that are going to end up at the top of countries, because money usually ends up at the top. It's very rare that you start from the bottom and go all the way up, unless you're Drake, start from the bottom, now we're here. But in any, so we're always going to be overshadowed by guys that are not like us. They nearly evolved into different people, if you must. So they'll never be understanding the same social class problems that we have. And I would love to put a video on Leo Radgar and put him into one of you, put him into a pair of scrubs and watch him for the day.
Well, the really disappointing thing is that Leo is a doctor and he worked within the service.
He knows.
You know,
that's it, he knows. Yeah.
He knows. And here, let's be straight. I think the stuff that he's given, the comments, the reckless comments that he's came out and said about you as guys and stuff like that, he just...
Like, we're not entitled to holidays at Christmas. You know, it's inequality.
This is it.
All it is inequality.
And from Leo, that would have literally got a huge push towards the country's support, towards equality.
And towards the nurses that would have supported him in his career as a doctor. In, you know, it's a teamwork in healthcare.
And then even in the referendum for same-sex marriages, which is, it was a huge equality thing in this country. I think Ireland is like the flag for equality in...
It's the same for women's rights. You know, last year we came huge, and like, nursing is a female-dominated profession, so you could argue a feminist point if you wanted to see why are nurses. If it was a male-dominated profession, I don't think nurses would have sat back for as long.
That's a good point. That's a great point. You know that, because I think lads would probably be that, like,
definitely,
they'd be more aggressive about it.
Kids have a lot more patience, let's be honest. They were much more, and probably would have went the wrong way. But here's another thing that the same. So, in between this, you are struggling in the idea of trying to live on that wage as you are. That's the way I'd say, look, it's hard. Like, I find it hard. I have a few little things going, but still, it's not easy in this country. My girlfriend's from Liverpool, so we get a good, like, equivalent of what it is in the house. So I'm saying this and that, and she's like, well, if we were in Liverpool, it wouldn't be this. And she goes, oh, but she's dead right. Buying houses, not the HSE, what's it? The
NHS
over there. Yeah, so damn, like everything, the way the doctors are paid for, it's just a good system to be working for. So why wouldn't an Irish nurse want to get out of all of this craziness and head over? Because you've been there, so you've seen the difference.
There's pros and cons to both, I suppose. There's a different quality in both services. I think it's more accessible in the NHS.
Appreciated, I think, is a huge currency in the part of wages as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you bring the appreciation of what you have to do. Give us a day. So give us a day and what you do.
So in the emergency department, you could be working in triage where people come in and they're initially assessed by a nurse. So when you ring an ambulance, you come to hospital and the paramedic hands you over to a nurse the majority of the time, and that nurse assesses you and gives you a priority in terms of when you should be seen by the doctor, because every doctor, a patient can't be seen as soon as they arrive. So it's actually nurses that decide how sick people are in the majority of cases, which is a huge responsibility. If that nurse makes a mistake, somebody could die. If that nurse puts the wrong person into the waiting room, that person could die. So you could be there for 13 hours. You might assess 40 to 50 people and you'd assign them a category, check their blood pressure, do some first aid, maybe give them a painkiller, and then assign them to the waiting room or hand them over to a nurse to observe them until they're seen. So that would be triage. And then in the resource room, Sarah could talk you through a day in the resource room that could be anything and everything.
So the resource room contains patients that are acutely unwell, typically requiring intensive care level treatment. So that could be patients on a ventilator, patients that are not able to breathe themselves. So we're responsible for ensuring their safety. We technically should only be really looking after one patient that is as unwell as that. but we usually would only have three nurses looking after seven patients. So it doesn't work out like that. So yeah, we can have, as I say, up to seven patients critically unwell. They might be there for a whole day waiting to go to a high dependency area, because at the moment we have a problem with beds, nowhere to put people. We'll start them off on their treatment. We'll give them everything that they need, but until they have somewhere to go, they're under our care. And that puts extra pressure on us, because all the while people are still coming in to triage. They're still presenting unwell, requiring treatment. And we may not necessarily have places to put them.
And then in the main department, you have everything and anything. So you come into the emergency department with any manner of emergency. It could be somebody with a stubbed finger, or it could be somebody who's having a heart attack. And emergency nursing, it's a very varied and challenging environment. And there's a lot of challenging environments within the healthcare, but for myself and Sarah, emergency is where we work, and it is particularly challenging. But nurses work within all sorts of specialist areas with very advanced skills and knowledge, and we feel that that knowledge and skills should be paid appropriately.
And it's so wearing down on you, is like, because I'll tell you a little story real quick. This year, my mum, she wasn't well. Actually, both of our lungs collapsed in A&E. So we were there, and she was like, she was dying. So the guy turned around to me and said, listen, we have to put her on the ventilation straight away. And we said, listen, is she going to live? And he's like, I don't know. Like, literally, he was looking around now. And I could see her in his face. Then he went off, and to be honest, I was kind of like, he didn't really care. Do you get what I mean? And now, she was going to put on the ventilation in A&E. She wasn't in an ICU unit. She wasn't in a high dependency unit or anything like that. Now, I know, I won't say I know a lot of the machines, but I know that at a mixed martial arts event, so an MMA event, we have to have the equivalent of an ICU unit set up in the background. Mm. So someone could be put on the ventilation there and then, and all this. And it's just, Ireland's the safest place to do mixed martial arts in the world. People wouldn't believe it, but it's a great flag that we have in the community. But it's, from what I'm saying to this guy, hold on, you're going to put her on the ventilation here. And a lot of the machines weren't there. The machine that would have been measuring her heart rate was out from an ambulance. It was like a battery machine, and it was like, so they're putting my mother on the ventilation here, and the guy is kind of literally saying to me outside, like, we've done all we can here, and the idea is that there's not enough. Like, I'm like, why don't you bring her to an ICU unit? And he's like, there is none, mate, basically. And then the nurse that was at the, say, at the start told me, he came back to me about 20 minutes later, and he said, listen, I just want to apologise, because maybe I was a little bit too brash there when I was saying that to you, but I am so busy, mate. And he explained to me that, listen, your man will be fine. We're looking for an ICU. We got to go this way. We got to go that way. And if something comes through, I'll personally find out myself. And I was a little bit annoyed at the guy at the start, but I remember actually feeling guilty when he came back to me, because I was like, I can imagine the amount of things that he's had to do between now and then. And not even that, I don't deal too well with death. Like, death and anybody, whether it's animals, whether it's people, whether it's death also. You guys deal with death every single day, especially in a resuscitation unit. Mm. And my fear of that would be, if we was a nurse or a doctor or something like that, would be coming numb to it, would be coming the idea of no death. You know what I mean?
I think it's one of the most privileged things you do as a nurse, is look after somebody and their family at the end of their life. And it's something we see a lot in the emergency department, but it's something nurses deal with in a lot of the areas of the hospital. But in the matter, around a third of the patients in the hospital that die in the emergency department, and looking after them, you know, and trying to make them better. And then if you don't, sometimes they do die. But if looking after the family afterwards can be incredibly challenging, but it's a huge privilege, I think. Absolutely, to look after somebody at such a pivotal point in their life. And doing something small can make that experience a little bit better for the family. And that's, you give such an amount of yourself to those situations.
Mm.
And like, again, we're not looking for anything special for that. You know, we, having that compassion, having that patience and time, and giving some of yourself, because you're human at the end of the day, and everybody's affected differently.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's very hard for a nurse to give themselves if they feel undervalued.
Yeah.
And we feel undervalued by this government, because we're paid less than our colleagues are in the same service. And it all comes back to equality. And if you don't pay somebody, you're going to make them feel like they're less important. And eventually people will start to behave like they're less important. And that's what we really don't want, because nursing has really progressed in this country. And
in turn, the patient care has improved and progressed. And we want to keep that momentum up. But if you don't value your staff, they're not going to keep that momentum up.
No one can blame that, you know, because at the end of the day, is if yous did half of a bad job that they're doing and running the country, yous would be sacked. And that the worst thing, if we did a bad job in what I'm doing, like, oh, you own my business, but I'd have to sack myself if I was doing what they were doing. Because it's clearly just some stupid, silly things that they're doing at times. The decisions that they're making, like Owen Murphy, say the housing minister, the former finance minister, like, can't do that job, we'll jump onto this one. And his family, as I said, he'll never, ever, ever own poverty, never know poverty. His family own hotels beyond hotels, and then we have homeless people being put into these hotels. It goes up and up and up, and it's...
But if you think, if the ministers are given bonuses, and a lot in the private sector you're given a bonus for doing well, and they've been given bonuses for doing unwell. So, like, if we're going to give every public servant a bonus, then we should rate their performance and give them a bonus based on their performance. And we're not looking for bonuses in our... We're looking for what everybody else gets in the health service.
And a lot of the stuff that got taken off you, Jordan, the idea of...
It was taken off everybody. And so we just want to be treated the same as everybody else. And it's very hard. You know, we are stepping out and saying we want this, but it's to be treated the same as everybody else. It's not to be treated differently.
It's another thing. But the thing is, the problems are getting worse in the directions that they benefit from. You know what I mean? I know it sounds crazy, but like 4 years ago, 76 million was paid out to private sectors for housing, for renting.
Mm.
Yeah. 4 years later, 276 million was paid out. So that's a crease of like, what, 50 million, was it? 50 million a year. How does that make sense? Like, where if they can just pop that out and they can spend an extra 200 million of, say, taxpayers' money, and some people, it just brisses by. It's not the one that's on the front of the newspaper. Mm. The newspapers as well, they good and bad, I think, in this situation. Some of them have came forward and put up that you guys quality and as able as you want, but then some of them, I think, that are have cut across that. Hold on, what about the patients, and try to turn it on you a little bit, which is absolutely terrible.
Well, it's the same as like millions is wasted every year on agency staff and health services.
Yes.
When you run an agency, you get a phenomenal fee for providing that staff. And it's a nurse is a nurse to a patient, but to the health service, we waste a phenomenal amount of money supporting a private industry to get nurses on the floor. Like, if nurses were paid appropriately, we wouldn't need to use agencies as much. So it's this vicious circle of we're in crisis constantly, so the hospital has to go to an agency to get somebody to come in to cover a shift. But we shouldn't be at that point.
Yeah. No.
1.5 million a week, apparently.
So we're in a situation that if you guys can go and get... No, we don't always have a mortgage. I'm not sorry, I haven't asked you, so like, oh, you have a house. but say if you...
Nobody will give me a mortgage.
No, yeah. Don't take one. But if you guys say, if you could go and have a mortgage, go home at the end of the day and work as hard, but then you're going to have a house to show for me, your family are going to get... Where now it's set up for only them to win, because you've got to work the hours, then you've got to pay the rent on the house that probably someone's mate owns. You know what I mean? That down the road of it, you don't know how usually it comes down. The agencies, these private agencies that come through, there's no doubt that they're not coming in, renting a building, setting it up, and then it's like, sound, we'll just walk away here.
Yeah.
They're talking to the guys as well that, listen, if you set up an agency and then we make this department do a little bit worse, then this will start growing, and then if homelessness is going up, the rents will start going. So the supply and demand is being created by businessmen, basically, and they're playing with people's lives. And I know when people look at it and they say, oh, that's a conspiracy theorist and stuff like that, then people will never, ever, ever get the answer. They'll be dead by the time they start realising that these people do not go to work 9 to 5 for me or for you to make your lives better. These guys are... Some of them, I won't say all of them, are evolutions of money and billionaires. These people are now byproducts of what happens when money is in your family's chain for a long, long time. Where people like us just become like annoyance and like moans, if you must, you know. But they couldn't walk a mile, especially in user shows. They could not walk a mile in it. So you have the newspapers that are coming out saying, they're looking at legal action or something like this, saying that they could probably affect and go after his pensions and stuff.
Well,
how true is that?
The threat so far has been that there will be financial sanctions for nurses that do continue to strike. But when you enter into strike, when you start striking, you leave the current pay agreement, because that's one of the conditions of the pay agreement we're in, is that we don't strike. So we've already had our increments frozen, which is an increment is around a 1% pay increase that you get after a year's service. So it goes up, your salary goes up a little bit every year that you're working in the health service. And they've frozen that now for 2 years. So we already have financial implications. And when nurses weren't at work last Wednesday, they will lose that pay for that as well. So there is already financial implications there. So that's really just a threat. We know that because we've voted to leave the pay agreement that we signed up for, that because it no longer caters for our needs.
Was it Australia that they did a walkout? So all of the nurses literally just put the tools down there and then walked out.
There was hearsay for that. I haven't seen
New Zealand,
But they solved in a few minutes, supposedly.
Yeah, it's up to the union, really, how strong they're going to be. Ultimately, as a nurse, you're duty-bound by your professional code of conduct to provide care. And so we're in a very sticky situation. Like, it's not like you can close a school down. You can't close a hospital.
We have to maintain patient safety.
They messed up on that as well, though. Yeah. We had to close the schools because the roofs are falling down.
No nurse wants to cause harm. No. So, and maybe that's going to be why we'll never, why it's going to take a lot longer to get where we need to get, because nurses will always provide care that's
I think
required.
In this negotiation, that's going to be the rootless part of it, because the rootless part of it is going to be they probably will push how far yous will push, but they'll never end up in A&E in Tally or in the Mater Hospital or something like that. Like,
you never know.
If Leo gets sick, I guarantee you it's a helicopter coming for him, Cian.
Yeah, but the nursing meet won't differentiate. Do you know, as in they would treat him just as they would anybody else.
Oh, 100%, but he won't be queuing in A&E. So they said, a lot of these problems, these guys, they'll never, ever experience what we're moaning about them, because they'll never, ever experience them.
Yeah.
Like, their grannies will not have experienced this, probably, It's very rare that you'll get somebody that's the top of their country now that came from nothing. And that's it. And I think that's the problem. I think if people have to live in the class, usually some of the most genuine people, I think, and most honest people, that are people that have been hurt or broken and stuff like that, and the people that really care. I think when it comes to a little situation where, like, you're either in the club or you're not in the club, and it's about making money, and it's about moving forward in the best business way, and they're failing those guys. But I have to say, those guys are heroes standing up for you. At the time now, he's see it and like, oh, hold on, it's because there's no doubt he's in a sticky situation. It's your qualification, it's your career. But yous guys are lighting a torch for a lot of other people. There's so many people out there that are looking up at yous now and admiring what yous are doing. Because it's not easy to stand against, your bosses. Because even when it is all right, remember that time behind closed doors. So what yous are doing is an extremely brave movement. And I really think people are going to follow yous out. I can see the guards out with you soon and the fire brigade, and I know you've got loads of support there on the picket lines.
And it was really
very heartening.
It was great to see all the support and the people appreciate why we're doing it.
Yeah.
And that it's not that we're being greedy or that we want anything more. No. It's just that we want what we deserve, which is equality.
I think that's why we're getting so much support. Yeah.
And this is it. So this is a genuine movement. And how can people support us on this? How can people? I know you're going to pick it again or not pick it again. Sorry, did you hear me? The union at this decided this is Tuesday.
I think the most important thing is to correct people that are incorrect about why we're striking.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be negative press, and people will say my operation was cancelled because of the nurses' strike. I didn't get my appointment because of the nurses' strike. We have a grossly dysfunctional health service, and it was grossly dysfunctional before the strike started. It will be during the strike, and it will be after the strike. So there will be cancellations, but there was an abundance of cancellations before the nurses' strike. So I suppose if you're talking to somebody who starts to say it was because of the nurses' strike, it probably wasn't. It was probably because the health service is grossly under-resourced and really mismanaged. And so if anybody, I suppose for the public to fight our corner.
Yes.
It's equality that we're seeking. It's not to be, some people might think we do a better job than other people in the health service, but we're not here to make that debate. We're not here to say we're more important than anyone else in the health service. We're all working together to provide care to patients, whatever our role is. We should all be valued equally, and we should all be paid equally, because nobody goes to work to volunteer. We go to work because we have a job to do.
Well,
and
definitely.
We need to step away from the idea that it's a calling, and isn't it great that you want to do it? You know, it's not a calling anymore. No. We go to college to get an education, the same as everybody else. You know,
you're going
to
be a hero, son. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah,
if we wanted to be a priest, we'd go and be a priest.
Yeah. But listen, let's look at it. We're in a situation now where a guard couldn't walk in singly and probably get a mortgage. A fireman couldn't. A nurse couldn't. Doctor, me. Do you know? But like, it's so hard. Like, even though whatever's going on, people need to see the bigger picture of this. They use are humans, and you need to live. And whatever you use are doing and standing together, as I said, I'll say it again, is inspiring, because people need to do more of that. People feel like people need to know their value and know what such a government waste is going on. We live on an island. We've said this loads of times. We should be building to do with the oil, to do with the wind, electricity, all of this stuff in this country. We have abundance on it, but we're made to believe that we don't, and we don't benefit off
when you're told you're not good enough. You know, it's not a nice feeling. You know, it's very hard to do a good job when you're being told that you're less important than your colleagues.
No, 100% I do. I agree with you, and I have to say, I'm like, anything is needed from pushing towards it, I'm going to get out, which is for sure.
Thank you.
I'm taking that sign that you came, and I have that one. And I'm going to get out there, which is as well, no doubt, because it was great to see what the other day, on Tuesday, last Tuesday, I was up to me, bleeding noise. So, but definitely my date is to get out with you guys as well. And anybody else out there, come out with these guys. And I hit a donut, so I'm definitely coming out now. Yeah. There was donuts and all dropped there, wasn't there? Some lad dropped 50 pizzas up. Party at him. No, but do you know what? I wish you the best with him. I really do. And I respect the job you do.
Thank you.
For me, I respect that. If you've been catching on to No Shame lately, we're doing like a rebranding now. So we're doing a rebranding of the whole website, the pictures, profile, everything. Make sure you check it out. It was down to who?
Big Boom Digital.
Big Boom Digital.
So we've had.
So Mark at Big Boom Digital is helping us.
And Fran.
Yeah, so anything you see that's going on, cool. Them guys are looking after us now. They're bringing them in on the team. We have a third leg now. So it's just me and Robin pushing along this for a long time. Now we have a third leg.
Yeah, they're that little bit of a push that we need, I feel.
Yeah, well we need that Brian.
I need.
Another Brian planning is what
sometimes
we need.
Sometimes my social media skills are a little bit too chilled. So Mark's giving me that kick up the ass, and we're owning our social media now. They're great though. Their website is launching at the end of this month, at the end of February. So if anybody needs a push with their social media channels, check them out. Very good couple, Mark and Fran, and very approachable.
Good to see someone using the initiative as well.
Good people.
You know what I mean? Make sure you like and subscribe. That was episode 62, and get out there and support the nurses.
And also one more thing, wasn't it? A shout out to
Fiona,
who helped arrange this.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Fiona would have. I'm told she would have loved to come on herself, but she's busy working.
Busy working, yeah. Thanks, Fiona.
Trying to get a nurse is impossible. Well, then the idea is like, hold on, actually, they're all being worked in. They're the most rarest commodity known.
You never date a nurse, you never see
her. You know, Mark.
That's actually a good idea.
So Keane finished his shift and cycled straight here as soon as he finished. He hasn't even been home yet.
And you only finished last night?
Yeah, I was working nights.
Legends, absolute legends. Check it out. Catch you next week.